The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is The Hardline, the greatest show on earth.
Well, maybe just in St. Louis.
Hardline with TJ Moe, Cam Jansen, John Hadley, Bob Ramsey, and who the hell else knows?
Welcome to the Hardline, 5-9 The Fan, KMNS, 5-9thefan.com. I am former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe, along with Matt Rocchio. John Hadley next door. He will be in at some point. He's in what you would call a meeting, I suppose, a meeting with a hot dog. And sometimes he makes it over, sometimes he doesn't. And so we will get to all of that good stuff. Bob Ramsey, the voice of your Slew Billikens, out today. They are traveling. And I believe he's out tomorrow as well. So, interesting schedule for tomorrow, actually. If you are listening at this time tomorrow, I think you'll be hearing John Hadley and Cam Jansen. I think for sure you'll be hearing Cam Jansen. I will be on from 10 to 1 with Martin Kilcoyne. And that's all I know, to be honest with you. There are other changes in the schedule that I think are not on the paper rock.
Yeah, we'll be out at the Schnooks on Highway K in Monticello.
That's a Monticello.
Monticello.
And that is
I'm sorry that I know the pronunciation that's more popular. My bad.
I was just, since I'm from there,
know,
trying
just,
to correct
know,
your
I'm
exact.
Just, I'm just screwing with you. I'm going to call it Monticello. You know what? I'm not conforming.
Believe
to
it
you.
Or not, that Monticello clubhouse is where I had my graduation party as a senior high school.
I believe that. That's,
okay.
That's not like a shocking statement.
Why?
I don't know. That's just not.
I did.
You live out there. It's a nice little hall. I mean, room, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we call it a hall. It'll be a hall.
Yeah, so it's not too far off of Highway 40 there. And because that's the old Shop and Save, I think.
Yes. They turned over 19 Shop and Saves, just to make sure that more and more people just had, you know, that they weren't losing their local grocery store. They didn't have to drive outrageously far to get their
right.
groceries, so that people didn't, you know, have that hole there. So the great thing there, we've been stopping off at a lot of the new Shop and Save that they turned over to Schnucks,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, we'll be out.
So
of
that's right off of
Thursday.
Oh, just so you guys know, that's right off of O'Fallon Road and Highway K. It's right mm-hmm. at the corner there.
And we'll be there, like I said, 10 to 1 tomorrow. Martin and you and I will have. I'm sure we'll get some. Are you okay with eating a bunch of chocolate tomorrow?
I'm anti.
You're gonna have to do
celebration.
That, no, you're gonna have to eat some.
No.
Listen. I'll always agree with you that holidays are stupid. But when we go to a sponsor on a holiday,
I can promote how awesome
you're
this stuff
eating
is.
Some freaking chocolate covered strawberries.
Nah, I think that would cost
feed,
them
what
money.
What if I feed them to you?
Okay.
There we go. That's my thought.
I'm in.
I had that in my back pocket the entire time.
As long as we can put it on Instagram, I'm so down with that.
All right. Fine.
So there you go. 855-282-8255. Rock. I realize we did not read a single text yesterday. That's probably not good for the show. So, if we want to read some text today, that would be fantastic. I actually think we had some interesting discussion that deserves some text. Whether or not we got any yesterday, I don't know. The Kareem Hunt conversation was one of the more interesting ones that I can remember on this show. I don't like talking politics with how volatile today's society is with them. There's very little middle ground. There's not a lot of moderates on either side. And in turn, there are less moderate people, at least the vocal ones, as it relates to their politics. So I prefer not to talk politics, even though I like politics and I think they're interesting. I would prefer to talk about the sports in general and then the interesting angles on the sports, which I think that was. And that's more of a societal idea and how to deal with redemption than it is an actual political idea itself. So anyway, we try to do that as often as we can instead of just giving you statistics and, you know, less than thoughtful conversation on sports. So anyway, that was the goal yesterday. We probably fell short. We usually do. So 855-282-8255. Rock, 7 games in a row for your St. Louis Blues, and that puts them in a position where you are trailing Dallas by 2 points for third place in the Central Division. And this is, it's pretty incredible what they've done here. They have, let's see, 8 games in the next 13 days. They have played 4 games already. They had what it was. It was 13 games in 22 days, something like that. Now you have 8 in the next.
Yeah. All we've been talking about, the only constant in anything in Blues conversations this year is they have 3 games in hand on everybody.
Yes.
That's got to get made up somehow.
That's right. That's exactly right. And they now have a game starting tomorrow every other day for, you know, whatever it is, 13 days. And
a lot tougher for them, a lot easier for us.
Yeah, it's more fun for us to talk about things. And the Blues just can't stop. Now, the one thing I am concerned about a little bit right now is that this David Perron injury is not getting any better. He's not traveling with them to Arizona. And Arizona, not a good team. Fine.
You know why that doesn't worry me as much as it would 3 weeks ago? Because undeniably, the defense has been a lot better in front of Binnington. And I think Perron's best asset this year is that he's been one of the best he's been one of the best defensive forwards on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now I'm not as worried because I know that the defense in front has been doing so much better. I'm not freaking out that they're still missing one of their better defensive forwards. Clearly the defense can mesh without him, and so I'm not freaking out about it yet. Obviously I'd like to have that going forward as they, get closer to the playoffs.
Right, it obviously has not mattered here over the last 7 games. I'll tell you, though, prior to his injury, he was second on the team in points with 35. He's got 18 assists and 17 goals on the season, and that's in only 45 games. That is in, he's got the same amount of points as Braden Schenn in 6 less games. So, and he was one of the few guys that before this crazy run was actually in the positive on the plus-minus. He's been really good. And what we talk about with him all the time is defensively exactly what you're talking about. But on the forecheck, he gets in the corners and he centers the puck better than nearly anybody on the team. And so when you can grind it, it's like what Alexander Steen has had to become. Steen used to be more of a scorer. Now he's got to go to the corners, muck it up, and center the puck. He's doing a decent job. Now the question is, when he does come back, David Perron, if indeed he doesn't need surgery, because they keep calling him day-to-day, and then it goes a little further, and then he doesn't make the trip. And they say, well, we expect him back pretty soon, and then he doesn't make the trip. And he's not making this trip either. So that is worrisome as far as depth. Now, the thing that you saw last night is that maybe Jaden Schwartz is starting to turn the corner. Schwartz, and that's just a goal-scoring thing. Schwartz has been really good. And in fact, I think you can make an argument if you didn't look at the goals that he's been as good as he's been any given year. He just hadn't put any goals in. His plus minus without scoring at all himself, and being because of that being on typically the line that's not scoring as much, he is still at a 0 on the plus minus this year. He doesn't have a ton of penalty minutes. He's only got 12, only the 4 goals, but he still has 19 assists. He still is playing 18 and a half minutes a game, and he's been really good with the hustle plays. I wouldn't worry. If he can turn the corner here, you're now looking at a team that has legitimate firepower on every line. And because you're looking at the fourth line right now, McEachran is really freaking good. I get it. Last night, everybody scored. But McEachran was nobody knew his name. You know, we talked about the five guy. You know, Tage Thompson was a guy. Vince Dunn was a guy forever. Jordan Kyrou. Clem Costin, you still haven't seen, and Robert Thomas. Everybody talked about them. Did you ever hear Mackenzie McEachran's name? And he's come out and done everything exactly the way that you would hope a fourth liner does. And it's tough when you have a Jordan Kyrou who is used to being a first or second liner and playing 18 minutes a game. Hockey Bible, we'll get to you momentarily. And then you ask him to play fourth line minutes. And you can make the argument that, and I think Chris Kerber did this the other day, that is unfair to those kids. But on the other, it's also fair to the unfair to the Blues to say, okay, well, the kid's not really good enough, but you have to play him 15 minutes a night. So until they're really ready, you don't just throw them up on the fourth line unless they're an overly talented kid like Robert Thomas who can really figure it out. Robert Thomas has figured out how to play fourth line minutes and be really good during that time. And he's meshing with an Ivan Barbashev and he's meshing with a Mackenzie McEachran, who are guys who are probably career fourth liners. McEachran, I don't know if he's ever going to be more than the fourth liner, but he's a hell of a fourth liner. You know, it's a, for years, the Blues have had a really good fourth line until last year. And they're starting to get there now with guys who are doing exactly what they should be doing, and they're putting the puck in the net. You mix all that. If you're getting goals out of your fourth line, dude, you've got a chance in most games that you're playing.
66 and Big Mike both saying that it looks like a concussion, so no surgery is going to be needed. Learn your hockey, concussion syndrome does not require surgery. So, yeah. Looks like a concussion.
Well, if look, in it's hockey, they don't tell you what it's upper body injury or it's lower body injury. Yeah. And I realize with please let John Hadley in. I realize you don't need surgery on a concussion as a person that has had multiple concussions. But I do know in hockey, too, that they don't tell you what they hurt.
I thought he got a fob.
Huh?
Didn't he show us in the studio? I thought he got one.
John never had anything.
No, okay, another quick text. The defense is playing good defense in front of Bingo right now. Only criticism of the defense getting careless, moving the puck up the ice, long stretch passes, dangerous passes, and hitting the other team's legs too often. My opposite of that would be that Dunn is still making some amazing passes while, yes, screwing some up and taking risks that maybe some people
don't
want to do.
So is Petrangelo, and so is Parayko, but that's what's making them good right now, too, right? You're taking those risks, and you take those risks because you have confidence that Jordan Binnington can also stop the puck and give them a chance. The risk is what makes you good oftentimes. So, anyway, this is a pretty spectacular stat that I saw today, John. John Hadley, welcome to the show. Ryan O'Reilly is now plus 23 in the plus minus. Do you realize last year, I get it, he was on a bad team, and last year he was a minus 23 in Buffalo. I get it. Buffalo was terrible last year. He is plus 23.
In relative terms, Rock, maybe you can look this up for me. I'm not set up yet. I'd like to find out what the team plus minus is. Because I would be willing to bet that this team is still, as a team, is a minus.
The Blues?
Yeah. They're
plus one.
Plus one. Okay, so now they're up to plus one.
They just got there for the first time. I was looking this up earlier,
Look at you. I'm going to give you a big kiss at the break.
That's the only reason that I did this, to hope that one day I could get a big kiss. So November 16th, this was game 17. They were plus three goal differential.
For reference sake, the Buffalo Sabres were minus 81 across the season last year.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's a differential. So thank you. You went ahead and thought, look at you. Look at
kisses
you.
Kisses for everyone.
Look,
this is sounding really weird.
This could involve tongue. So
hold on. Let me give you the full stat.
My
real
point
quick.
Stands.
This makes the point on the Blues entirely. November 16th was the last time that they had a positive goal differential before today. They were plus three. The worst that they've had at some point this year.
Okay, no. Plus minus is it? So when you're saying plus one, are you saying they scored one more goal?
Yeah, goal differential. Totally.
No. I'm not talking. No, that plus minus is not goal differential.
I see.
So find out for me what the team plus minus is, please. But anyhow, it illustrates my point. So Riley being a minus 23 on a team that was minus 83, considering his playing time.
Right.
You know.
All right.
Go ahead.
Minus 394.
The Blues?
So he was looking at the wrong
one,
too.
17-18 Sabres were minus 394.
Yeah, minus 394.
Okay, so we were talking about different things.
Right.
We were talking about goal difference.
So you're talking about a guy who I guarantee you was among the five
Did
players
you get the Blues
on
this season?
No,
I was looking at
the
total.
I'll get the Blues total for this.
So again, this when I go back to illustrating stats.
Mm-hmm.
So O'Reilly
was only minus 23 on a negative 394 team.
Less than 10%, despite being one of the
holy mother of God.
What?
He's plus 23 on a team that total is plus 36.
Boom.
That's ungodly.
So
that's
he was less than 10% of the minus last year on Buffalo.
Yep.
This year, he's responsible. This play exactly where. This year, he's responsible for being roughly about 60% of the reason that the team is a plus. No.
If you want to weigh plus and minus that heavily.
I'm telling you right now that Ryan O'Reilly is one of the 10 best players in the NHL today, and very few people realize it.
Well, the broadcast actually said that. Not exactly that, but they got there.
Which broadcast?
NBC broadcast, the national one.
Very good.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
Who made the point?
That's a great point. I don't know. I mean, who is it?
Who the hell's on the phone, Rock?
We'll get to him.
Who's on the phone?
Who is the who is their panger on the side? It may have been McGuire.
It wasn't Joe Mick. It was McGuire.
I don't know. It's okay. One of those. Anyway, they mentioned how good he's been relative to the NHL this year, and so yes, you're talking plus minus the goal differential as a team. The reason I was looking this up is because Chris Kerber made this point early on the season when they were still plus one, but they were losing so much. He's like, look, anytime you're positive, that's usually a good sign for, you know, you've lost a couple close ones, but typically you're winning by a lot. And so even though the Blues had a bunch of losses stacked up, he said that it's still a positive side. They're still trending up. Well, for the first time after rattling off seven in a row, for the first time since November 16th, they are in the positive in the goal differential. They were as low as minus 21 to end the year. 12-31, they were minus 21 as a team.
Rock, who's on the phone? Oh, okay. Not that I don't respect you, Bob. You know you always get your time, but we hardly ever ask for calls. So when we get them, I like to go to them, but you're a regular, so you will get your time. TJ's right. We'll get to you. You feel me, Bob? You know I love you, brother.
Love you, Bob. Love you.
But the point is this.
Man, he can join the Kiss party.
I don't know. I think I was... I was telling Jimmy Huer this morning because I talked to Curbs after the game last night. And I was telling him, I can't recall the last time that I enjoyed a regular season game any more than I enjoyed last night. And I'll tell you why. Because I admit it. I mean, when it comes to the Blues, more so than the Cardinals, when it comes to the Blues, I'm still about 89% fan, 11% media guy.
Do that quick math, Rock. Go ahead.
89 and 11. That's Come on, baby. Rock. 89 and 11.
Check your calculator out, Rock.
It checks out.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Nailed it. CBC rule. So.
It's a dark day today for us, for our alma mater, John. It's a dark day for our alma mater today.
So. The point is, being a fan.
But what about the other 32 teams, John?
Uncalled for. Uncalled for.
So, for Tampa and the two Nashville games, I never really got to enjoy them.
Because you were nervous.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on the edge of my seat, and I'm just waiting for the inevitable to happen.
Isn't it amazing?
They're going to play Tampa well, and they're going to lose. They're going to play Nashville well in Nashville.
That is so funny.
And lose. I could not enjoy it. And then I told Curbs, you look at the end of the week, they have some biggies coming up.
Mm-hmm.
The Blues have some. I told Curbs, I said, I was so freaking nervous about that game last night. And he said, don't think it didn't enter my mind. Trap game, trap game. And I said, exactly.
Berube beat us to it, actually. And he caught it before everybody. Talking yesterday during the, he said, look, we are well aware that this is a game set up for a letdown.
And, well, he could say it.
Well, but they came out and did it.
For 35 years, we've witnessed it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the kind of game that all too often the Blues wind up blowing and not showing up for, and you're thinking, oh, you know, same old damn Blues. Well, not only did they win the game, but they dominated the game, and they showed an incredible amount of discipline. As I was talking with Cam this morning, and the Gabriel kid did everything humanly possible to try to bait guys into fights.
Patty Maroon took the bait one time.
You know, the fact of the matter is, though, for the most part, the Blues kept their composure.
Yeah.
Because there was really no need for it. Because let me tell you something. Gabriel's a beast, man.
I've heard that.
No. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's a beast. And as tough as Maroon is, as big as Parayko is, I don't know. So,
want to see Parayko.
Do you really want to have some guy with a concussion or break a hand or something in a game like that trying to make a point? No, you really don't. Now, if he goes after Tarasenko or he goes after O'Reilly, you have no choice.
But Bouwmeester, nah, he'll be fine.
Well, because Jay's a big boy. He's a veteran. He knows he knows the wars. He knows that they all showed – this team is showing composure. This team is showing discipline. And if you listen to the post game last night on KMOX, Kerber's interviewing Barbashev. You know what Barbashev says, Rocchio? Well, Chris, thank you for the compliment, but I got to tell you, we're still seething a little bit in the locker room because we didn't bring our A game in that first period. What was it? They were winning 2-0, right?
Is it 2-0 or 2-1?
Yeah.
Yeah, right in
there. They were winning.
You always, right. Yeah, you always hear that. You always hear that from the winning coaches, too. Like, the Greg Popovich, we always hear him being one of those guys who's like, they win the game, and he's like, yeah, but I mean, we're terrible for 5 minutes, and I hate our
team. When was the last time that you heard a Blues player say something?
I'm saying. There's not that mindset.
Normally they say, well, we didn't work hard.
Yeah, that mindset hasn't been here.
So here's a team that's been on an incredible tear.
Yeah.
Have beaten, arguably, and again, it's arguably, because Winnipeg may wind up being the best team, if healthy, in this conference. But you could make a case that the Blues have just not only gone on an incredible tear, but are 3-0 against the two best teams in this league in the last week. And here they are winning a game, and you have a player talking about the guys in the room being disappointed with a period that they held the upper hand.
And a young guy at that. This isn't a vet who knows what to say.
Do you understand? Right.
Yeah.
Do you understand the mind, the 180 with the mindset?
And he's doing that across a language barrier. I don't know how good his English is.
It was pretty good. I listened to the interview. It's not bad. It's not bad.
Amazing.
Yeah. He speaks better English than John does.
Well,
fair enough. Like John, just stopped chewing.
I would like for him to speak Russian. Who the hell do you think set up the meetings for
Can
Trump?
I say this? I had the same feeling. You talked about being like a fan, which we all were before getting into this business. That's why we got into it in the first place. After Tampa, and especially after Nashville, because those games are such big, you know, they're all 4-point games, you feel more relief than you do excitement after the game. The second it's over, you can take a deep breath and you're like, okay, good. Whereas last night, I think John made a great point, you felt excited, and I think the big takeaway from last night was that for maybe the first time all year, they didn't play down to their competition. That is all they've done all year. They play up. They can go to Toronto and win 4-1. They can go to Winnipeg and win 1-0. They can go to Tampa Bay and win 1-0. And then they come back and play. They've played two games this year against the Kings, and they've lost both of them. The Kings are tied for the second least amount of points in the entire NHL. They've got less points than game. They've got 51 points here. And they've played down to their competition. The first Kings loss was actually what got Mike Yeo fired. They've played down to their competition all year. For the first time last night, they came out and did exactly what everybody thought before the game forecasted should have happened.
The crazy thing is there was a month or two period where everyone was talking about the same thing. But you know what I haven't heard pretty much since maybe the first week of January? I haven't heard the name Jack Hughes on St. Louis radio in about a month and a half.
Because he's going to be in Anaheim.
That's all we were talking about for the middle 2 months of the season there when it was like, well, might as well give up now. And there hasn't been a mention because it hasn't been in people's thoughts as soon as they hit the gas a little bit there midway through January.
The most astounding stat that I have come across here, the goal differential, I was just looking at it today. And most everybody is, you know, it's somewhat reasonable. If it's a pretty good team, you know, they're somewhere either close to zero or plus 10. The really good teams, there's one crazy one, and that is the Tampa Bay Lightning, are plus 64. But Anaheim, who was in the thick of things not too long ago, they have lost 7 in a row, and they've been blown out so bad, their goal differential is minus 55. They were in the playoff hunt 2 weeks ago.
Dude, there was a point in time about a month ago that they were third or fourth in the conference. Correct, Rock?
Yeah, now their coach is fired. There's a great website that can actually tell you NHL standings by day. There's a great website that will do it for any sport.
I rely on my brain.
Man, your brain doesn't work that well, John.
What?
What do you want to know, January 1st?
Let's just say January 1st, yeah.
Okay.
Although that's probably not far back now, but go ahead.
All right.
Because you're like 2-18 in their last 20 games.
Yeah, they... No, that's not far enough back.
The Ducks were... They had 45 points. They were a point ahead of Dallas at that time. But they were about mid-pack as far as the whole league. They were right around a dozen. Yeah. So in the...
Look, December 15th. Okay. That should be 20 games, don't you think, Rock?
Yeah,
that
should be.
December 15th, John, 2018. This is a great website, by the way.
You're lazy. I'll get on my index cards and figure it out myself.
They were fifth in the West.
Fifth in the West. Okay.
Yep. They were.
I said fourth. They were fifth.
Yep. 1 point behind the Avalanche. Okay. And right in the thick of the.
But read off.
But to your point, they were only 4 points off the pace of the leader.
Yeah. 4 points from being the top in the division.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But read off.
In the conference.
Yeah.
Conference, right. Read off 3 through 7 that day.
Calgary. Well, okay, these are out of.
Calgary, Winnipeg, and Colorado. 44 points, 44 points, and 42 points.
Correct.
3 through 7.
Then it would have been Anaheim, the Sharks, the Edmonton Oilers, Vegas Golden Knights, Minnesota Wild,
I know it's out of order. That is frustrating.
And then Dallas Stars. So just, yeah.
Colorado, it's amazing. Anaheim, seriously. San Jose, Edmonton.
But they had
they had
13 points on the Blues on December
15th.
Right? They had 13 points on the Blues.
If you look at the Blues and the Blackhawks then, you look at Anaheim and Edmonton, and then today you look at the Blues and the Blackhawks, you look at Anaheim and Edmonton, it's amazing.
Yep.
The Edmonton was still seemed like they were going to be something that
right?
this season.
Well,
at
there's
that
two
time.
Teams that are going as much the wrong way as the Blues are going the right way. The other one that we're not discussing right this second is Colorado, who's lost 8 in a row.
Yep.
I told you weeks ago they weren't going to make it. You can just tell by...
Well, because it's a one-line team. But that one line was so good.
You're right.
They were
I agree
floating.
With you at that point. They were doing a tremendous job. But overall, you know, I mean, people look at Eric Johnson, they just don't realize that, you know, we may not believe that Pietrangelo is at his best, but Pietrangelo is still a better player than Eric Johnson.
Well, sure. Hockey Bob's still on, I think.
Let's do Hockey Bob. He's waited for 17, 18 minutes.
Hockey Bob, welcome to the show.
Hey, well, thank you for taking my call, man. It's a great show. Hey, let me supposition you guys a bit. You know, if you look at the standings right now.
You mean proposition?
Hey, no, you can't use those kind of words on radio.
Not the suppose that you wear on your head, DJ, but the word suppose. Okay, let's suppose that from the beginning of this season – the Blues played the way Armstrong, Stillman, Berube, everybody on that coaching staff believed they would play from the get-go. The Blues would be one of the best teams in the league. And, TJ, you said it yourself. Even in the drought and the inconsistency, the Blues have managed to beat the upper echelon teams and not be able to beat the lower teams. Well, now they're doing both. They're beating both teams. All I'm saying is this. If this Blues team continues to play the way they are, I don't see any reason, unless somebody gets hurt really bad or a couple of people get hurt, I don't see any reason why this team can't make at least to the second or third round of the playoffs. And I'll tell you one thing. You know, we all
you
talk
already
about
said this, so this would be two things.
Okay, two things. Okay, thanks, Edgar.
yes. Well
you know,
done.
You look
Hockey
at
Bob. Well
at,
done.
You know, we talked about goaltending all the first 25 games of the year and how inconsistent it is. Well, look at San Jose. They've had some of the worst goaltending throughout the season, but yet they're still sitting on top. Why? Because their players were able to overcome the fact that their goaltender was letting in easy goals, and they didn't focus on that. They didn't get down. They continued to play to their capabilities, which is what the Blues are doing now. So I don't have any problem with Billington. I don't have any problem with Allen in goal. As long as our forwards and defensemen continue to do the job that they're getting paid to do, this team is going to be a force to reckon with come playoff time. That's all I got, guys. Thank you for taking my call. And you can comment. I'll be off the air. Thank you.
You can't comment.
Thank you.
Thanks for permission to comment.
Can we also point out that the San Jose Sharks have Brett Burns, and they have Joe Thornton, and they have Evander Kane, and they have – I mean, it's like the roster that San Jose has to overcome bad goaltending is so substantially different than the Blues, who are trying to figure out who their teammates were to start this year.
I do not – I want nothing to do – with San Jose in the playoffs, because even if you beat them in a series, you have a beaten, battered hockey team. They're going to physically beat you up. I would hate to have to play San Jose in a playoff series. Anyhow, the point of the matter, Hockey Bob, is that in you got a little carried away there because you are a hockey fan of epic proportions, and you know that the Blues would be not in this position were it not for the exploits of Billington. So you're excited.
Bennington, too.
I'm sorry?
Bennington, too, yes.
Well,
Billington's okay, but I really prefer
when you live
Bennington.
In glass houses, you can say it because you're a superior individual to us. I make my own mistakes, so. Anyhow, the point is, you can't, Bob, this guy plays bigger roles than anyone. But again, it goes back to the very simple fact that big-time players have to play big-time hockey in big-time games. It's like that in any sport. It's an old coach's cliche, but it was not. It wasn't more than 6 weeks ago, a month ago, Rock, where TJ was frustrated because I was trying to tell him the simplicity of what it takes and what the difference is. Tarasenko playing better. More defensive continuity. Goaltending. I mean,
I wish we could roll that back because it had you like gotten in, you know hockey better than most anybody that I know, but you were driving in frustrated and you were like, TJ, they're doing better because they're playing better.
Right.
And that was the end of it. Instead, look, first of all, it's like, all right, good. Well,
you,
we can wrap that up.
You are. Sometimes these simple simplicities in life need to be stated.
Exactly.
No, John, no.
And then I went
all right, that was a good show, boys. I guess we can just wrap it up. They're playing better, so they're good. Let's go on home.
In fairness, I tried to explain to you that Tarasenko would just – was going to eventually regress towards the mean. You're like, nope, I don't buy it. Trade him, man. Trade his ass right now.
But he's this is a 3-year regression towards the mean. He had 30 points or 30 goals last year, 33, yeah. Whatever it was. Like this wasn't a 12 game thing.
The point of the matter is
25 game.
Is that right now? You have a goalie standing up. You have Petrangelo playing the best hockey of his of this season.
And Bo's best hockey in three or four years.
That's right. No, I was going to get to both Bo Meester and Gunnarsson prior to the injury.
Yep.
They were playing their best hockey. So you have the top and the bottom.
Those two guys, I've supported them all along.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have Tarasenko being a top 10 player. You have O'Reilly, shockingly, being a top 10 player.
Yep.
You
have Petrangelo being a league top 10 defenseman.
Huh?
Petrangelo playing like the top 10 defenseman in the league. He's getting paid like he is.
Okay, it's guys like you that cause accidents on highways. Sorry. Number one, that was a maneuver. I shifted lanes like 3 miles back going 70 miles an hour. You're about to cut in front of me going 45 in a fast lane, and all of a sudden there's going to be a pileup. So I'd already gone past the defense onto the forward.
Got it.
And then on top of everything else,
at the end of your last defense,
I want to hear more about Billington.
On top of everything else,
uh-huh.
You have a coach that, shockingly, and I will be the first to admit it, has found a way to pull this all together and focus these guys. And we've heard simple things that he's done off the ice. You know, yada, yada, yada. So the next conversation we're going to have with the St. Louis Blues of epic proportion is going to be, what happens if the Blues do win a playoff round or two? What happens if the Blues have come from the abyss into the sunlight and win a playoff series and compete hard in the second one? Do you keep a Ruby or do you still go after Quinville? I don't want to talk about that right now.
Andy Strickland's on record as saying if they make the playoffs, Berube's here next year.
Fine, I don't give a damn. See, you're the
I'm
kind
just passing
of
along what was said.
No, because I said that's a conversation for down the road. It's just sort of like a little.
Quit jumping the gun, bro. Exactly. What are we going to talk about later?
Exactly.
If we talk about it now.
See, that's my point. But he just. But it's just. It's like these millennials. I got something to say.
Can I say
no,
this?
No, you don't. No. You really, really.
Was that not pertinent?
So
no.
All right.
After game 19, Mike Yeo was fired, and most of us hoped and thought and expected a jump similar to what Mike Yeo took when he took over. A lot of times, a team will get a shot in the arm, but as we realized with Mike, yo, that shot in the arm sometimes is just, hey, I'm glad that other guy's gone. It's not necessarily something that's going to be a permanent fixture. And it obviously wasn't with Mike, yo. But they didn't really get that shot in the arm with Craig Berube. In fact, the first game that they played with Craig Berube, they lost 4-1 in Nashville. Now, they came back, played a really physical game the next day. Not the next day, but in back-to-backs with Nashville, and won 6-2, but it was against a backup goalie. Pecorine had been playing really well at that time. In fact, I think he was a top goalie in the league in that moment. And you didn't really have that shot in the arm. And through his first 22 games, the Blues were 10-11-1. And so everybody thought, okay, he's clearly not the guy. Well, since that time, they're 11-2-1. And I think something that's instructive to, instead of just the shot in the arm, I hope everything works out, is it probably, if a guy's actually going to have a legitimate makeover and overhaul a team and the fundamentals and what we're seeing now, it's going to take a little bit of the season. It's not just a shot in the arm. Hey, guys, you're excited. Go play for me. It seems like there's been a legitimate change to the point of an 11-2-1 record over your last, quick math, 14.
Well, all I can tell you is that Billington Bennington has to be considered to be a factor. Just has to be factored in that equation. You cannot completely dismiss him.
And I think there's credit to Berube for going to him and sticking with it. Because a lot of guys would have waffled on that. That was your fourth string goalie to start the year.
He also had nothing to lose and everything to gain.
I was going to say, your second string goalie was so bad you had to cut him. Your third string goalie was so bad that he got benched in minors for your fourth string goalie. So
what do you know, Rock?
When it comes to leadership, a lot of things come down to circumstance. And I go back to the greatest example, because to this day, the thing that I always get the biggest kick out of is the liberal media and the Democrats talking about what an incredible risk Obama took with that raid to get bin Laden. What do you mean? Obama was sitting in a bunker in Washington, D.C., sipping on some tea.
So you don't think he was in his, you don't think he was just in his, like, having, living room?
Having some cheese.
I'm watching the Designated Survivor right now. They have this little war room they go down into. Yep.
100%.
So you're sitting down there in a nice secure area with some air conditioning, having some grape and cheese, and, you know, trying to figure out.
No HUD directors that
are looking. Where Hillary's knee and ankle ended and where the calf started. But anyhow.
A Clinton Kangle joke. Circa Family Guy 2005, ladies and gentlemen.
Is it possible?
John's digging deep.
Is it possible for a cankle to go from the foot to the hip? Anyhow.
At some point, there's
a thunder thigh. I mean, I'm not like, at some point, we have to change the description.
So they're
here.
Down there, and Obama's taking a great risk? No. The boys on that helicopter. We're taking a great risk.
The helicopter that crashed.
Watch
how he brings it back to the Blues. Yeah. This is going to be masterful, guys.
As Jimmy Carter did, as we found out in Iran.
Peanut farmer.
You know, those helicopters went down. So you not only have potential crashes, you have potential damage at the site once you land, if they notice who you are. You have incidents of people around finding out. And on top of everything else, you have the Pakistani military just down the street.
In hour two, John's going to break down the raid at Entebbe.
So you've got all this going on. The only people who were...
You should know that, Krav Maga student.
You know, the funny thing...
Go to another class tonight.
The funny thing is, in the end, when you listen to him speak...
Raid at Entebbe.
What they're saying is, Obama took great risk with that raid, because if it failed, it may have cost himself a presidency. So somehow, some way, that's the significant factor, that Obama has cojones the size of church bells, because if Americans are killed in Pakistan, he may not be the president.
John, this has nothing to do with Jordan Billington.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
Okay. No. Jordan because Billington does not
exist. Let him tie the bow. Just put your finger on the spot. Let him tie the bow.
It doesn't take great guts for Berube to throw Bennington into the nets, because he had nothing to lose.
Oh, that's what that was.
Nothing to lose.
Can I say this? This is my favorite part.
Because guess what? If he fails, the inevitable is still going to happen. He's going to lose his job.
Okay.
If he fails, he could cost the team. He could screw with Bennington's head. The kid might be marred for life.
It's got layers, too. Not only is it a good analogy, it's got layers, ladies and gentlemen.
Guys, this is my favorite part of the
You took a trip there, John. Bin
Laden. You showed him my breasts.
25 miles. This is a low mile per gallon kind of trip, too.
This is my favorite part of the Bin Laden story. When the boys, you know, the helicopter crashed. So then we have so much technology. That was SEAL Team 6. So they have technology that the rest of the SEALs can't. They can't. The rest of the SEALs can't even use that. They have one team that uses technology like that, the highest. So they had to blow that up. And then they all get back on, and they're taking the body back, and they said, "This is. I know this is the only time in your life you're going to be glad to hear this, but welcome to Afghanistan."
Yeah, exactly. Although, ironically, the lone thing that they failed to do properly
is blow up the whole helicopter.
Oh, they didn't. They didn't blow it up right?
Well, they did blow it up right, but there were certain pieces of the technology that were
Allowed the Pakistanis to get the technology, which now means China, Russia, everybody else.
I had no idea. That's crazy.
Yeah.
See, this has nothing to do with anything, but John did that, so I don't know
why this
is worrying. The fact that, you know, because you said it in there, if it doesn't go right, his presidency has a stain on it.
Right.
I've always thought it was weird that they just pushed the body into the ocean and never displayed any part and never showed anything beyond fact that they just pushed into the ocean. I'm just saying that when you say that, it brings me to my favorite conspiracy theory, one of my favorite, which is that it never actually happened or that they killed like an imposter.
Well, I can tell you this, that all the boys on that mission had pictures.
Yeah, they definitely did. I know.
See, Rock, I think what you're missing is, and this is where conspiracy theories begin to grow because people fail to understand and comprehend the big picture. In that case in point, there's not much more you could have done to besmudge Bin Laden.
No,
under his religious beliefs and the way that you go about
100%.
Things. Basically, they could not have smeared him any more than by just dumping him into the ocean like they did.
Right.
Which I guarantee that was a big flip of the finger. Yeah, bye-bye. So long. Please come again.
Thank you. Please come again.
Again, I love how that actually made sense. You know, we always think John just says these things to just save these going these tirades, but that's one of the
I want you to think about this. John got fired from his previous employer for railing against President Trump. But the only rants he ever makes over here is like, I love it when these stupid liberals. That's how every rant starts.
Every rant could definitely be heard by somebody be like, listen to this Trump follower
again,
go.
It comes down to culpability. After I was fired at KTRS, you know how many people called and said, oh, I can't believe they did that? What do you mean you can't believe they did that? They employed me for 17 years. I said something on the air. They weren't happy. They wanted a change or an apology. I said no. They said goodbye. Who really did they fire me or did I push their hand?
You're like a modern day Bob Costas.
I like how you said that, despite the fact that when his thing happened like a year before Bob Costas' thing.
I
don't know how timelines work, TJ,
because Bob Costas, I assure you, gave far more thought with far more. No, I mean, the fact of the matter is,
Bob Costas stole your shtick. That's what he did.
You know, Bob Costas is the one that got me started in TV, so you will never hear
I'm just saying, he followed up what happened to John. You give this certain rant and you get fired. So he did it on NBC, and bam, there he goes.
But he stuck to his guns. I mean, that's the problem in today's world, in today's society, with millennials in general, is it's never their fault.
So liberals, millennials, who else do we hate?
Oh, I don't hate anybody. Women. I just want...
That's what John said.
Good God.
He's getting divorced.
Let me explain something to you. Everything that these millennials, these liberals, I love the fact that they call themselves progressive. What makes them progressive? I mean, why aren't they regressive? But my point is, everything that they say, they do the opposite of. We have the right to free speech, but let some conservative try to give a speech at a college, and we're going to throw chairs through a window and not let him speak.
It throws a wrench in our theory here and most people know where I stand politically, but President Trump's slogan is Make America Great Again, but then we're calling the other side regressives.
I have no idea what the frick you're talking about, Cowboy.
Gibby, fire Hadley, please, loser.
Who said that?
Gibby said that. Also, Splashback News, even a blind nut finds a decent analogy once in a while.
That was a pretty good analogy.
It was.
So, Gibby.
I didn't see it coming.
Gibby, what do you want me fired for making sense or ruining your little world of fantasy land?
And he also says, Hadley, stop talking politics. Oh, no, you millennial wannabe.
Can I say this, too?
He's calling you a millennial wannabe.
Who is?
Gibby, the same person who said Firehead.
Oh, Gibby, I will find you.
Can I interject here, Rock?
I will find you.
Why is it always a bad thing to be
really
regressive?
If I say no, you would not interject?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have.
No, explain to me, TJ, why does the media refer to these people as progressive?
You and I agree on a lot of things, so we're not going to argue on this. My point is, I want to point out that regressing to something that was better before is not a bad thing. Like, we always try to say, progressive, you're making progress, sometimes in the wrong direction.
But I mean, even if, how are they progressive?
Well, they're progressing their agenda. It doesn't mean it's better.
Go back to Michael Dukakis. Go back to, what was the name of that funky looking guy from Minnesota? Sort of looked like he was half
Rachel
man,
Maddow.
Half woman.
Not Rachel.
You jumped the gun. If he would have got out the half man, half woman joke and then you would have said Rachel Maddow, it would have made it so much better.
Hubert Humphrey.
Oh, jeez.
Go back to.
You want Dukakis and Humphrey? Jesus. I don't think it. Is that alive when they
go
ran for
back,
president?
Go back to these extreme liberals. And what's the difference between today and that? That's not progressive.
Well, I would say it wasn't mainstream to be in favor of a single-payer system.
Mike Dukakis was last in a public office the year I was born.
Yeah.
So,
believe it or not, there was a world before
his
you, Rob.
His Democratic Party or progressive leanings might be very different from the ones.
Blood-sucking millennials are dead. After you've killed off your parents by spending every freaking dollar they have while you're living at home complaining about why you don't have more money despite the fact
John.
That you've only worked at two jobs in 90 years.
John.
I'm telling you something right now. There was a world before you millennials, and there'll be a world after
you.
You
don't know that, John.
The
not if we wreck the world.
The fact is you're going to screw everybody else in between. What?
If we wreck the world, there will not be a world after us, and I think that's
we got 12 years, John.
That's a large assumption. The other thing is, if we're talking about progressing general ideas, you can agree or disagree that this is progress or regressing in society, but back in 2012, Hillary Clinton is on record of saying, look, I believe marriage is between a man and a woman.
Right.
That is a different idea. They are progressing towards their agenda. It doesn't mean that's the right agenda necessarily. But that's what, so, and same thing, single-payer system was not something that was mainstream 10 years ago. Now it's fairly mainstream. The immigration laws, go back and look at some of the speeches. Like, all of these things, they're progressing towards their agenda. That's why they call it
that. Do you realize that Hillary Clinton, what's the name of that guy with the big-ass nose, looks like a beak? Shermer. Chuck Shermer.
Ah, yeah.
Schumer.
Schumer, whatever. Shermness.
Chuck Schumer, yes.
Yeah. You always know names. You just don't know anything else. You're really good at names.
hey, he knows something.
But I mean, do you know that these people at one time were for building a wall?
Yes. Yeah.
They were for building a wall.
Schumer is actually on video saying that.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were for building a wall. Progressives mean
you know what
you,
we need to
coming
do sometime?
Back to what the old saying, what goes
oh,
around
no,
comes
John,
around.
You asked about his nose and he's Jewish.
Huh?
John's Jewish.
So,
okay.
so somehow, some way, I'm supposed to believe that Jewish people are the only ones with a big nose?
No, not at all.
Have you seen Italian noses?
I was just about to say, I've looked in the mirror before.
Oh, no, not just you. Half my family.
Yep.
Italians have some schnozzes.
I just had to check, and then I got down. Schumer was born in Brooklyn, son of Selena Rosen and Abraham, and I'm like, oh, this is not going to turn well for John.
No, but Jews can only claim big noses.
Just saying.
No.
Just saying, the guy,
Schumer is
the guy who wants to rename
leader,
a karate
our minority
just,
leader, I think.
Just saying.
Is that right? Is Schumer the current Senate minority leader?
I believe so, yes.
So, I mean, again, look.
I don't know how, what?
It's the soldiers on the pitch, no matter what the battle is.
Hey?
Whether it's a battle in hockey, it's the guys who have the skates on, who are laying it on the line, or it's the Marines out there in the field putting their life on the line. It's the guys.
John, I want you to do Krav Maga with
the field.
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
You what?
Krav Maga. Am I right on that? Is he the Senate minority leader?
I'm 58. Yeah. I don't
Wait,
I
Speaker
don't fight anymore. Okay. I will just cap your ass with a 9mm. That's it.
Again, now, you're going to bring up Krav Maga. This is why you need to Google the raid on Entebbe. It's a raid performed by the Israeli military. So I thought you'd appreciate that.
I will, absolutely. So I've been watching all the Krav Maga is fantastic, John. I'm going to another lesson tonight. I've gone to two since last time.
Insane.
And the greatest thing, like yesterday, the entire lesson was somebody's attacking you with a knife. What do you do? And they're coming from behind you. And what do you do? And they're it is so much fun.
You know what I do? Bang. See, I can shoot behind my back.
No, you can't.
Yes.
It is interesting because it's all like wrist manipulation and different things, but the idea of like...
Isn't it all like pressure points and like...
No,
and,
not at
okay.
all. There is the only thing that
jitsu.
They do...
Oh, okay.
I don't think it is either. Pressure points, no. Most of it, jiu-jitsu is a lot of almost like wrestling. They tie you in knots and do different things like that, but...
Jitsu.
Krav Maga is great because they have very little fancy things. The wrist manipulation thing is called a cavalier. That's the only fancy thing that they do. Everything else is basically move before
you
they
didn't
can.
Get laid until you were 27. I would not attack your wrist because I guarantee you that's the strongest
part
of your body.
I am 28, and that is an ongoing
I'm
deal.
Pretty sure the literal translating is street fighting.
It's Israeli street fighting.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. And so it's supposed to be a very like organic kind
exactly.
of like... In, yeah.
Exactly. So that's why it's not
awesome
a lot of manipulation. Right. So you watch the videos on this
it's
stuff.
Savage.
And their defense happens simultaneously as their attack. That's the most interesting. So like if somebody's choking you, they will teach you to get out of the choke and kick at the same time. Everything mm-hmm. happens simultaneously. So, John, never mind. You can't do this.
I was going to say, I tried drumming one time. It was tough enough keeping the beat with my feet while using the sticks. And I'm like, what the hell is happening here? Next thing I know, my feet are banging on the bass and my feet are playing.
The only multitasking John does is during benders.
Now, John is a multitasking freaking
and with his
phenom.
Phones, and his phones.
John can multitask with the best of us, but nothing physically. He multitasks with his brain.
Yeah, pretty much so. No, pretty much. So. I mean, was it you I was talking about this morning? I mean, I walked outside this morning and I was cold. I mean, I am becoming such a gina, man. I mean, I mean, it's just so pathetic how mentally weak I'm becoming as I get older. Because I'm telling you, when I was 20,
it's starting to match your physical weakness.
When I was 25 years old, no, I could still outlift you. Oh, I guarantee it. I could lift more than you in anything. I guarantee it. Now,
I don't even know how to respond to that.
You have
I thought he was
going to
have some like clever like well, we're talking about lifting this, and I'm like, he's not breaking off into a joke here. I'm confused.
No, it's just like arm wrestling. He thinks he's so powerful. I would beat him in arm wrestling in within 3 seconds.
Big Al, don't call in.
But the fact is this.
Is Big Al still alive? I haven't heard from that guy in a long time.
The fact is this, boys.
Yeah?
The St. Louis Blues hockey team has turned their own fate around because they've taken this entire situation into their own hands. And they've accepted that they have a leader who they listen to and then take care of business on the ice. Problem with hockey players, more so than any other sport, is that half the time they seem to be working towards getting their coach fired. If you look at some of the disappointing teams and some of the teams with expectations of winning a cup that won't, this could be one of the most fascinating off seasons of NHL coaching changes I've ever seen in my life. And so let's say Nashville doesn't win a playoff series.
Nashville doesn't win a playoff series.
What happens? Do they keep the coach?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
You think for sure?
No. That'll be a classic hockey
fire. Did he move into fourth all time and right now has one of the more talent? Now, this year they've dealt with a lot of injuries, which I think is what gives him a big reprieve.
Okay. Remember who said that?
Me. I did.
I think it's classic hockey.
Peter's not going anywhere.
I guarantee you if Nashville doesn't win a playoff series, he's fired.
That would just be so idiotic.
Guarantee it. And if I'm wrong, you have to eat six Krispy Kreme donuts.
If you're wrong, I get punished. So what happens if you're right?
If I'm right, nobody will be surprised.
I don't understand. If you're wrong, I get punished.
TJ, it's useless to come up with a second part of this thing because nobody is thinking, oh, what if John's wrong? Everybody's thinking, oh, TJ's
John, I don't understand. Why TJ, do TJ, I don't get TJ, punished can, when you're wrong?
Can you do like a week-long just like mini supersize me? I just want to see how, yeah. I want to see how bad you feel after a week.
I would feel terrible. I'd look the same.
You would say it like that, you son of...
It's 100% true.
I've never heard...
I still want to see it, though.
Never heard another man say, can you mini size me? What is that? Just a tip? Don't we have a break?
We haven't taken a break
yet. We were supposed to.
We'll be back in a bit. It's a hard line.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.